Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Richard Lewis has been recognized by Comedy Central.
Not by my family.
As
not
one of
by
the
my family.
Top 50 stand-up comedians of all time.
Dog, please.
GQ magazine rated him one of the 20th century's most influential humorists.
Well, I slept with that editor.
And and of course, we...
we don't need any of this. I've been playing Chicago 35 years now. This is the greatest city for me in history of my career. I'm not just saying it, even though I did say it in Skokie once, and I did say it in Detroit, and I said it in somewhere near the Antarctic.
All right, so here's
Eskimos
a man who needs no introduction, so I won't introduce Richard Lewis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm bad at that. It's your show. I love you, too. I know you forever and ever and ever.
We love you.
The new book is Reflections from Hell. And,
Richard Lewis's Guide on How Not to Live, and I have a lot to say about that.
Well, it says Reflections from Hell on the book.
Read more. You have glasses on.
Richard Lewis's Guide on How Not to Live.
Thank you. That's important.
Images by Carl Nicholas. Is it Totolo?
Totolo. Who's coming in for tomorrow. Tomorrow night, what's the Chicago Tribune?
Let's mention that. It's at the city.
Oh, the winery.
The city winery on West Randolph. You can see Richard. He'll be interviewed by Howard Reich and Carl, who did these fabulous images in the book.
In fact, if you get Sunday's Tribune, look at some of his work.
It's fantastic.
And by the way, it does say in big, bold red letters, Reflections from Hell.
Down your husband's pupils. What do you want from me?
So
I'm going to say this. We're not going to debate about politics.
Right. Richard, I went
at this mental case, professor, he puts his hand out, doesn't say hello. Here's what he says. I swear to God, don't mention Cuba. Don't mention Cuba, Marianne. I'll kill you. First of all, I'm not going to mention Cuba. I understand a point of view, but can I mention Desi Arnaz? Well, that make her upset.
Yeah, that's acceptable.
And what do you think about what's going on with Cuba?
Oh, I don't want to go there.
You stop with
so
that.
So much crap going on in the world.
I want to know.
And I also think the bleachers would be a good section for the library.
The Wrigley Field bleachers.
I was debating this guy.
Nice. Will you be on one of these last David Letterman shows?
Yes.
Great.
I filmed it 2 days ago in L.A., and I thanked him for what he did. Some very
What do you mean L.A.? Oh, you did a clip for him?
They wanted me to talk about him.
Oh, okay.
So I went to CBS in L.A., and they'll edit it. I pray they put in the right things. The two most important things for me were, not that you asked, but 38 years ago, he said, you're too physical for the camera as a comedian. On stage, you're like running around and it's cool and specials. But on television, and he's right, he didn't say these words, but even Carson liked me better when I paneled. I was like amateurish. Jack Benny would be a prime example of the perfect stand-up.
Didn't move around a lot.
Right, you just stand there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm running around. Jay Leno once said, I left the screen and came back. So he says, you'll never do... He says, come on my show as often as you want, and I did. I had it 72 times. He had it 49 or 50, but I think they're off by 25.
Well, your spots with Letterman were always the best.
But he set a precedent, you guys, that he said, you'll never do stand-up on television. And I never did it. And so any new shows come along, and they say, well, he'll do 6 minutes. I go, no, this is not open mic night for me.
You always sat down at the desk.
And so he set the precedent, so I never did stand-up again. Even when he hosted The Tonight Show. I sat down.
Right.
I started to do Tonight Shows sometimes without Johnny because, like, Joan Rivers, rest his soul, and David Brenner, rest his soul. It's been a horrible year. You know, it's like they said, just sit down, you know. And the other thing I told them, a lot of people think, look, I'm not going to psychoanalyze anyone, let alone myself anymore. But, I mean, the truth is he has that distance about him, that aesthetic distance. And I'm sure some of that could be true. for anybody. But he's very passionate about artists that he loves. He loves rock and roll, and he loved our mutual friend Warren Zevon. Mm-hmm. And the show he did for Warren when he was dying was one of the great hours of television in history.
I agree.
You can't get it on a VHS DVD, by the way. If you haven't seen it, it's just well, no, that's not the Letterman show. That's a special, which is still great.
Well, Letterman devoted a whole show to
Yeah, because he used
Warren
to take
Zevon.
Over the band for decades,
right.
You know, and when Paul was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry.
What do you think he'll do? What kind of an outlet is he going to have for all these things now?
Well, I don't know. But the one thing I just want to finish is what I said in the camera when they interviewed me, CBS. I said I'm going to just say to David for the rest of his life what Warren said to you, and when you said, "Well, Warren, you're dying. You have any advice for us?" You know, it was really a remarkable question. And he says, enjoy every sandwich.
Yeah, right.
And I said, I hope that for you, David.
Yeah.
And, of course, they'll edit that to sandwich. Put on a sandwich. That's what they do. I don't do these biographies anymore. You know, when John Candy died, we did a movie that unfortunately wasn't that great, but I was there when he passed away. And so I was doing all this press, and it was miserably depressing because I loved John. And I did, like, a biography. And I mean, some of them came out cool, like with Buster Keaton, but with Candy, I was on for 3 hours. And then I watched it, and it came on, biography, John Candy. And I was watching, I'm looking at my clock, there's 3 minutes left. And I'm thinking I schlepped over to the studio, I put on a new suit, the thing. And here's what they had me say, funny! That was all I had to say about John, my friend, John Candy. Funny! Sound like Mel Brooks for a minute.
Speaking of funny, this introduction to the book, Richard Lewis's Guide on How Not to Live by Larry David, is really wonderful. And
Larry destroys me until the last sentence.
For those who don't know, Larry David and Richard Lewis were born 3 days apart in the same floor of the same hospital in Brooklyn. They met each other at age 12. They were in the same summer camp. They
hated each other, by the way.
In the 70s on the stand-up comedy circuit, and of course, Richard's on Curb Your Enthusiasm. But Larry David basically says, do not give Richard any of your personal information, nothing. When you finally meet Richard, a few things will become apparent during your encounter. First is his excessive use of the word shrink, which he uses as often as teens use the word like.
All right, so I'm nuts.
And he leaves you exhausted. He'll mock you relentlessly. I might add, Larry David says, that you will also laugh harder than you've ever laughed before. You'll be in awe of how his synapses fire, how he observes life around him, how his brain sorts and compiles all the images it takes in. You might also notice how kind and sweet and generous he is. That was really great.
That was really beautiful. And then he talks about Carl, and because we were patients, we got him a studio for 6 years. And
this is Carl
Nicholas Totolo.
Totolo, who
haven't taken a look at the Sunday Trib, look at some of this stuff. His guy's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I've made a career out of unraveling myself. You know this, both of you, for decades, you know, because I needed to unravel myself because I really didn't have much of a great upbringing. And I needed to get laughs based on negative jokes, not negative jokes, but negative premises,
mm-hmm.
to feel like, wait a minute, I'm not crazy. You know, everyone goes through these things and has problems and stuff. So it was, so Carl Totolo has been a fan for 35 years. But what he did with the artwork, these aren't like necessarily jokes. Like I said, I would call him up and I'd say, my parents were my worst audience, and I hung up. Now, that's not a joke. If I did that on stage, I wouldn't get a laugh. It's not funny. It's not a good joke. But he drew a painting, an image of a mother and a father holding up these huge kites with huge thumbs down, like, you know,
right.
Our son, the loser.
Right.
So he really enhanced that thought. So it was a great collaboration, and I'm really proud to be part of it, particularly with a guy of his ilk.
He's a guy who has become famous. Is he famous in Italy?
Well, he's been in museums, and he's a legendary professor at the School of Visual Arts in New York for almost 40 years. But this is his first book with having all of his images. This is just 50 images, and he did about 300 before we chose the ones we wanted. And so I'm just really ecstatic for him. And it's, you know, and tomorrow and I will discuss it. You know, he's never done this PR. He looks like Michelangelo. He doesn't have a cell phone. He doesn't have an iPhone. You know, you need to, like, you know, have a blimp go over his studio. I need to talk to you, Carl. So, you know, he's nervous about being interviewed by Howard Reich, you know, one of the great jazz critics, who's I know for 35 years and a great author and filmmaker. He understands me very well, Reich, and he dug the book a lot. So I just said, Carl, just let Mr. Reich interview us. And, you know, we have an hour and then we'll sign books. And if we, you know, if we don't sell any, I'll buy them and I'll sign it to myself.
let's take a break and then we'll talk more with Richard Lewis. By the way, that event is tomorrow night, City Winery, West Randolph, and Richard will be at Zany's on Wall Street in Chicago Wednesday and Thursday.
Those are sold out, but
Rosemont Friday and Saturday. Yeah. Still a few tickets for that.
What time am I at the book thing? Oh, 6:30. How sneaky was that tonight? Snuck that. When I knew you forgot. What if people showed up at midnight and then they started looking for, running through the city looking for me with hatchets?
I want to ask you a question that actually.
Wait till I tell you about the new show I'm in.
I want to talk about that. And Howard Reich raised an interesting question in the Tribune. He said, is Richard Lewis a basket case or does he just play one on TV?
Please.
Well, we'll find out right
Howard,
after this.
Howard, how dare you?
Visiting with Richard Lewis, who...
That's a nice way of putting it. We're a little country house there, you know, in Virginia.
More
lemonade for them, please.
We've seen you on Curb Your Enthusiasm, of course, the series Anything But Love, in the movies, Drunks, Leaving Las Vegas, and soon on Stars, a brand new series called Blunt Talk. What's this all about?
Well, okay, Sir Patrick Stewart's the star. Jackie Weaver, who was Oscar-nominated a couple years ago for a great role for a movie that I'm just forgetting. It's an English cast, mainly. And it's about a womanizing, drunkard, cocaine-addled, nutcase, progressive newsman from Britain who comes over to try to tell Americans, you know, what the deal is. But it's hard for him to even stand up. And he has a butler who's a drunk. And the network hires me, because he has great ratings, to keep him on the air. And as it turns out, to keep everybody on the air. So I have a little bit of a portable couch, and I bring it into their offices and analyze them.
You're a shrink.
You're
I'm a psychiatrist. I'm a Freudian psychiatrist.
So is this what they call a dramedy?
I would say it's like a dramedy. Maybe like a dramedy, but it's a big comedy. Jonathan Ames is a magnificent writer. He did this show, Bored to Death, was on for a couple of years, but this is really his show. This is like his Annie Hall, so to speak.
And when is that available to us?
It'll be on. They didn't tell me exactly. It'll be on probably July.
Okay, Blunt
Talk. And then it's
talk.
Picked up for 2 years. It's on next year as well.
On Stars.
I don't know if they're going to want the Freudian shrink.
Was it hard to decide
they
to
will.
Take a role as a psychiatrist?
Babe, what goes around comes around. Talk about karma. Let me just say one quick thing. I had a best friend who passed away who was a great rock and roll singer, and it just didn't work out. She became a psychologist, and his name was Dr. Weiss. So when I got the auditions, they call them sides, pages to read for the role, it said Dr. Weiss. And I immediately got, wow, Kenny, I love you, man. I'm gonna get this role. I just felt that kind of. I mean, I'm not a deeply religious guy, but I'm a real spiritual guy.
Right.
So I really felt his feelings were coursing through my veins, you know. And he used to have a lot of bands. You know, rock and rollers have bands when they're four, you know. And one of his bands was called Tristram Shandy, which was based on an English novel. And I get there, and one of the producers is named Tristram. I go, wait, this is too much. So I'm Dr. Weiss, and then I get a call from one of the big executives from Stars, and they said, usually they give us a choice, but there was no choice. They said it had to be you as Dr. Weiss. So they got me a director's chair with Dr. Weiss on the back, not with my name, which is, the whole thing is really sweet
to
me. And his widow,
neat.
I got her the director's chair, and his children are
that's
ecstatic.
That's perfect.
That's nice.
So it was really cool, but it's really... brilliantly written by this Jonathan Ames. He's, if you know of him, he's just really dark and funny, and he really is fearless. And it's a hilarious show. I mean, I'm boasting about a show that I haven't seen yet, just like with Curb. Curb was on for 8 seasons, and I don't know if he'll come back, but he could. He could very well. And but I never ask him.
Dark, funny, and fearless words to describe Curb, words to describe you and your act as well, I would think.
Well, thanks. And, you know, I spoke to Larry. I emailed him yesterday, and, you know, Jason Alexander's coming in 2 weeks. He says, I'm getting out of prison in 2 weeks. I went to the opening with my wife, Joyce. It was sold out from day one, standing ovations every night, almost 2 hours of nonstop hilarity.
This is Larry David on Broadway.
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, and there was a couple of reviews I saw that they were reviewing it like he was like, it should be like, you know, written like a Eugene O'Neill play, you know, you know, in terms of the arcs. And that's a lot of crap. This is what people want. It's like if you see Woody play it against Sam. Now, that it's a good play. It's a great play. But I saw it with Woody. You know, and I don't know if I would have gone to see it with Carrot Top. Well, so people wanted to see Larry, and they'll see Jason was Larry on Seinfeld, so he'll be great, and he's a magnificent stage actor. So I'm hopeful it'll be a smash and have a long run on Broadway.
And by the way, speaking of Larry Davis, is it like
Larry David?
Like, yeah, Larry David.
Did you think she said Castro?
What do you think I said?
I said Davis.
No, I didn't. I said Larry Davis.
I thought Richard would have to go into therapy.
No, his hearing is going. Yeah, it's all going. I said Larry David. But anyway, is that like kind of the unspoken rule that nobody asks him?
No,
if there's going to be, it's just for you?
Yeah, I'm sure his dogs would ask. I don't ask. I never ask them how many episodes. I mean, I'm in 7 out of 10 of Blunt Talk, which is a lot.
It is.
They need me because I analyze these people and you get to know them pretty well.
Nobody better than you to do that. What about this question Howard Reich and the Trib brought up about you? Do you just play a basket case or are you really a basket case?
I was a drug addict for 25 years and an alcoholic. I've been sober 20 years, but I mean, I'm depressed. I have obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, this is not exactly Alice in Wonderland was Musselman Stone. She followed a rabbit down a hole. I'm sure she had a drug dealer. But I'm just saying, no. Here's the deal. I've modified my depression by being more grateful, waking up in the mornings and having a gratitude list about, look how lucky I am at 67. Even when I was an alcoholic, I don't like to use the word functioning alcoholic. I was a drunk when I did anything but love, but I made sure that I came through. But it didn't mean my personal life was way out of whack. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in Carnegie Hall, I had one glass of wine 5 hours before the show and did 2.5 hours to 2 standing ovations. But that didn't mean my life at the end of the show. I got totally polluted and humiliated myself in front of 300 of my closest friends.
Well, like you say, how you feel about yourself has nothing to do with being on TV. It has to do with your personality.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm much better than I've ever been because I'm feeling more grateful than I've ever been. Married 10 years, no Joyce for 20. She's never seen me have a drink. And we have a rescue dog. Who I think is a junkie, but you know, I don't care because she has a great life now. She was on the streets. She sleeps 16 hours a day, first of all. Let's start with that. But I like feeding her more snacks. She's only 12 pounds. My wife continually weighs her. She's 12 and a half. She's going to die. Because I like to give her food. I'm vicariously giving her more snacks as if I'm doing blow or something. Come here, Looney. Have some more cocaine. Mommy's out. So then Joyce comes in. Where? She's 12 and three quarters. How many snacks? We're going to get a divorce over me giving her drugs. And her drugs are treats.
Richard?
I love my dog. She doesn't. You know, dogs are great. We don't have kids. We had like a 3-minute window. Too far. And my doctor said my sperm would have taken hours to get to the egg and her egg would have been hard boiled. It was a nightmare.
Richard Lewis at Zany's. Some tickets still available for the Rosemont shows Friday and Saturday. The book is Reflections from Hell. No. Richard Lewis's Guide on How Not to Live.
And I'll be talking about it with the artist Carl Tottola tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow
6:30.
Night at the City Winery in West Randolph.
Thank you to Chicago. Really, this is the most important comedy city. I've said it many times, and it's made my career. This city, not New York, not anywhere else, this city and the people, they're so discerning, and it made my career.
Well, let us say we're very lucky to have had you come in here so often and enjoy your performances, and I've been lucky enough to go to a Cubs game with you. I remember one of the highlights on WGN Radio is when I plugged you into an interview with Ron Santo.
What an honor that was.
That was a moment.
I was just bummed at the Chicago game. They didn't have any rum ices.
Let me tell you, he's an expert baseball fan, this guy.
Oh, yes.
Beyond all that and all the good...
And go Bulls. I hope they win so bad. And you can always tape it. I'm doing early shows. I'm old now. You can tape it and come back and then just press and then start it and see the end.
Now listen, our good fortune to call Richard Lewis a friend.
Yeah, I love you too very much.
We really love you.
It sounds like hokey, but it's true.
I'm glad to see that you're healthier than ever, doing better than ever.
You look great. You look better every
That's because
time
I'm anorexic
see.
And I'm down to 92 pounds. No.
You can go back out now, Richard. The sun has gone behind the cloud. Have fun.
I'm taking my wife on a second honeymoon to Cuba.
All right.
Just kidding. It was a joke. I'm a comic.
The only way to end an interview with Richard is to say this, because he understands this. We have to stop now. Look forward to seeing you at
Zanies. My shrink said that for 45 years.